Hey everyone, my name is Randall Heyer. I'm the Worship Arts Pastor here at Cochrane Alliance Church. We are so glad that you've come to check out the latest sermon. We pray that you are encouraged, you are challenged, and ultimately drawn closer to Jesus. Enjoy.
I want to begin with a question this morning, or whenever you're watching this, not the morning, if you're watching it in the afternoon or evening. How many of you have a resume or a CV that's like in your computer somewhere or in a file folder? Now, when you compose that, how many of you found it really easy to write? You know, like, who doesn't love to just talk about all their strengths and virtues, right? It's super easy for us as Canadians to do that, right? Wrong, right? It's kind of awkward, isn't it? It's not easy because, you know, I don't know, there's something that was kind of drilled into us that we need to be, I don't know, understated with our lives or something. Let's just think about what that could sound like. Wendy Ellerbe is known for her understanding and insight. Rick Stevens demonstrates prudent behavior all the time. Matt McGregor regularly does what's right and fair. I just made the sound booth really nervous this morning. It feels awkward talking about ourselves this way, doesn't it? But on the other hand, who doesn't like it when there's positive things written or said about us, right? So what if I told you there's a book in the Bible that helps you develop that kind of resume? Would you want to give it a closer look? Well, let's look at Proverbs chapter 1, and let's give it a closer look. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, for what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning. Let the discerning get guidance for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. The book of Proverbs is an invitation to hone your skills at living well. It's a practical set of instructions for the good life. And who doesn't want to live the good life, right? It's not a set of like head knowledge that if you can just get it into your head, everything will be well. This is actually a study in applied knowledge. It's very practical. And it's also worth noting who this invitation is given for. In verse 4, it invites the simple and the young to benefit from wisdom. And then in verse 5, it invites the wise and the discerning to keep building on their life. And so, in other words, the pursuit of wisdom is a never-ending journey. You're never too young and you're never too wise to improve on your skill set of living well. And so this summer, you're invited to all work on your resumes with us as a church family. We're going to wise up by getting into the book of Proverbs. Now, on Labor Day, the first Sunday in September, I'm hoping that we can do a full-blown pancake breakfast and just celebrate and have a great time. But between now and then, Pastors Randall, Donna, Jason, and myself, we're all going to take our turn sharing some of our favorite portions of Proverbs with you. And so today, my goal is to get us familiar with the book of Proverbs, understand a little bit of the framework of it, and then introduce you to one of the key characters that we meet in the beginning of this book. So let's just dive in, all right? First of all, I think it's important that we kind of wrap our heads around what is a proverb. What is that? And a proverb is basically it's a short, wise saying. It's usually poetic and it's usually memorable, and it gives us general insight to what life is all about. For example, we have modern proverbs in our own culture, right? Haste makes waste. You know, there's a little kernel of wisdom in there. It's definitely short. It rhymes, so it's kind of memorable. And it's generally true. Haste usually does make waste. That's a proverb. Now, it's important to note, however, that there are certain things that a proverb is not, all right? First of all, a proverb is not a law, and a proverb is not a promise either. So what that means is that two seemingly contradictory proverbs, they can be true at the same time. So in a case of our proverb, haste makes waste, haste may make waste, but it's also true that he or she who hesitates is lost, right? Now, both of these proverbs are true, but neither of them are universal laws, all right? Their applicability depends on your own situation, where you find yourself. And you got to discern. You got to use wisdom to know how these things work. And this also applies to biblical proverbs. And I just want you to take a look at one in chapter 26. In verse 4, we get some great advice. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you yourself will be just like the fool. But then, like in the very next verse, in verse 5, we get this advice. You should answer a fool according to his folly, or else he'll just go on in life being wise in his own eyes. Wait a minute. Okay. If you read a proverb like it is law, this gives you a bit of a catch-22, doesn't it? I mean, when you meet a fool, whether you talk to him and try to straighten him out or not, you're going to end up breaking one of them, right? One of these proverbial laws. Well, thankfully, we're not dealing with laws when you read the book of Proverbs. We're dealing with proverbs, like the name of the book suggests. And proverbs are general truths, not universal laws. So, on the one hand, verse 4, it's never worth it to stoop to the level of a fool. But on the other hand, sometimes you're doing that person a favor when you point out their folly. Super easy, right? Well, it takes practice, okay? Gaining wisdom is a lifelong pursuit. And so I just want to give you a couple of tips here for while you're reading Proverbs, okay? First off, slow down and ponder these things. The neat thing about Proverbs is that there's 31 chapters, and there are upwards of 31 days in a month. And so you can get through, by reading a chapter a day, you can get through the whole book 12 times a year, basically. And that's great. However, just reading them over and over again doesn't really get them into your life, right? And I encourage you to do that practice. Even if you do it for just a few months, you will recognize some patterns that emerge in the world around you, and you will know how to respond to them better. But don't just rush through to get through your chapter every day. Slow down and ponder them. I guarantee you, if you do that every day, you're going to get to one, and it's going to jump out at you. And you're like, oh, that's the one you need to slow down and ponder. Take your time, chew on it, and then experiment a little. Put it into practice, see what it's like. Secondly, you got to remember that applicability depends on timing. It says in Ecclesiastes, another wisdom book, by the way, that there is a time for everything under the sun. So in the case of these two proverbs, there's a time to correct a fool, and there's a time to just leave them be. Gaining a heart of wisdom isn't easy, and you can't just memorize the book of Proverbs and expect it to immediately transform your life. It takes practice to live them out. But thankfully, we're not just kind of left on our own to kind of figure out how they apply. There's actually guidance for how to read this book within the book itself. And that brings us back to the beginning of the book where I was just reading from here a few minutes ago. And this is where I'm going to park out here, not just for the rest of today, but every time that I get a turn, I want to park out in these beginning verses of the book and jump around kind of in the first nine chapters. If you read the Proverbs from cover to cover, you're going to discover quickly that the first nine chapters, they don't have a lot of these little wisdom tweets in them. Those don't start really until chapter 10. Instead, you're going to get these long verses, these long poetic speeches. And if you take your time to slowly digest those, eventually you're going to start to get a framework for how to apply all those short little proverbs into your day-to-day life. So, in these verses, you're going to meet four key characters who are going to give you that framework. There's the wise father, there's Lady Wisdom, there's the wicked man, and then there's the wily woman. Today I want to introduce you to the wise father. He's actually the main voice in chapters 1 through 9, and I really like how this preacher I've discovered on the internet, a guy named W.M. Basford, I like his description of him. Whether or not you have earthly fathers who said and did foolish things, the father in Proverbs does not. Instead, he embodies the wisdom that comes from experience. In his time, he's seen it all. He's watched as other young men have gone down inviting paths that ended in disaster. And he doesn't want his son, the reader of these Proverbs, to meet that same wretched fate. And so he's instructing him in both wise and unwise choices. And so what we get here at the beginning of Proverbs is this series of speeches from the wise father, just explaining the many benefits of wisdom and also all of the dangers of being a fool. And here's how the very first verses of the very first speech sound. I'm looking at chapter 1, verse 8. Listen, my son. Listen to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They're a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. Listen to your father's instruction. Don't forsake your mother's teaching. I want you to notice the moral logic of the Proverbs spelled out here. And it's real simple. It's if you walk in wisdom, that is, listen to your mom and dad, things will go great. In fact, your life will be decorated with like the finest jewelry. Now, conversely, if you keep reading the other speeches, you'll also get the other part of the logic, and that's if you live foolishly, you know, as in ignoring your parents, well, things will not go all that well. This is one of those key pieces for a framework for reading Proverbs. And having this moral logic mapped out like this is really helpful. It provides a whole way of understanding the Proverbs. According to the wise father, you follow in the accumulated wisdom of our parents and their parents and their parents before them. And you do that, and the more you do that, the more you will gain skills in living a good life. That's how wisdom works. However, there's just one little problem with that, right? What if your parents were the weak link in the wisdom chain? Or even worse, what if you come from a long line of weak links? Where does that leave you? It hardly seems fair that the quality of your life is constrained by the family you were born into, right? How can we all find access to real wisdom? What's the starting point for building the skills that we need to live well? Well, let's listen to the thesis statement of the whole book of Proverbs, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom instruction. So there you go. That's the starting point. Wisdom may or may not come from your human parents. But all true wisdom starts with a reverent relationship with the Father of all creation. Ultimately, God is the one who decides what's good and bad, what's wise, what's foolish. And the heart of the gospel that we believe is that this God, the author of wisdom, he cares about each of you personally. And he wants to know you like a dad. In some way, the wise father is the embodiment of this gospel truth. And it's not insignificant that Proverbs uses the covenant family name for God here. When you're reading an English Bible, when you see the word Lord in all caps, that's the English way of translating God's personal name, Yahweh. And this points to the connection between covenant, family, and wisdom. They all come together in this thesis statement. And I think this is a good place to just pause and reflect on what we bore witness to in this service. Deanna and Vanya, by following Jesus through the waters of baptism, you've both confirmed your covenant family relationship with God. And in a way, that was like, that baptism was like kind of a public starting point for following in the wisdom tradition of God's people. But now you don't have just the wisdom of your human parents to rely on. You also have your heavenly father, you have his word, and you have a whole spiritual family around you. We're all helping you. At least that's God's design, to help each other in this lifelong journey of living well for the glory of God. So Deanna and Vanya, wherever you are, I can't see you. There you are. Welcome to the family. We trust that together we can help each other learn how to live well. So, kind of in conclusion, this connection between covenant and family and living a wise life, I want to give you two huge implications that has for us all. First of all, human wisdom matters. Now, by virtue of the fact that you're somehow either in this room or online, you're listening to me right now, it means that you are actually surrounded by a wealth of human wisdom, all right? And I'm not talking about me as the source of wisdom here. That's far from it. But I'm trying to observe here that you, by your connection to a church family, you are surrounded by spiritual parental figures. We are a community. We are family devoted to following in God's wisdom. And so that means each one of us has the opportunity, and really, I would say an obligation, to access as much of that wealth of wisdom as we can. All right? Now, this week I was reminded by my friend Rembrandt just how simple and straightforward this can be. He's been coming to our church for several years now, and on most weeks, he crosses paths with an older fella from our church named Harold. And for years, the only thing that Rem and Harold have ever had in common is the fact that they cross paths with each other here on Sundays. That is until one day when Rem and Harold discovered that they had a shared interest in gardening. And one day, Rem just, because he likes gardening, he jumped at the chance to do some gardening with Harold. And guess what? They had a great time together. And they both found a new friend. And now they each have access to more collective wisdom because they know each other. is really just that simple. And from Rem's point of view, as he was sharing this story with me, he definitely feels like he stands more to gain in that relationship in the whole wisdom department. Harold has a lot to offer. Thank you, Harold, for taking Rem into your life. Accessing human wisdom is as straightforward as just spending time with someone else and asking good questions. That's the first implication. Second implication. You, your wisdom as an individual, your wisdom matters. If you haven't already figured this out, we all have some wisdom to contribute to the whole family conversation. And that said, I would suggest that the stakes are a little bit higher for those of us who are parents and those of us who are leaders in some way. Let's just say that as parents, as leaders, we are well positioned to pass on the wisdom tradition as we live it out. And so that this actually begs a very straightforward question. How's that going for you? To what degree are you demonstrating what it's like to have wisdom in your day-to-day? Are the people you lead, are your kids able to see in your life what it's like to live well? Just prayerfully, just pause and sit in that question for a second. How's it going for you? If your response, and I got a gut level I'm talking about here, if your response is peaceful and somewhat satisfied, congratulations. Like, I would say, keep it up, whatever it is that you're doing. I want you to enjoy as you watch your legacy of wisdom unfold all around you. On the other hand, if you're not feeling so peaceful and satisfied about that question, don't panic. Let me remind you, the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of knowledge, is a reverent, worshiping relationship with our God. And you're never too old for a fresh start on that resume. Today is as good a day as any to make a fresh start. The whole point of gathering every week, like we do as Christians, is to open our hearts up to God on a regular basis with repentance and receptivity. We want to be open to the wisdom that God wants to teach us on a regular basis. So what's stopping you from saying yes to all that, to that offer, and making a fresh start with God today as a Christian, as a parent, as a leader? So in the book of Proverbs, in the first chapter, we meet the wise father. And he teaches us the moral logic of the universe. If you know the wisdom of your parents, if you follow in that wisdom, life will go well. On the other hand, you ignore their wisdom at your peril. But whether or not you have wise or foolish human parents, there's still access to divine wisdom available to all of us. Ultimately, God is the one who decides what's good and bad, wise and foolish. And the good news is that this God cares deeply about you personally, and he wants to know you. And so as a church family, that means all of us can participate in this family wisdom conversation. All of our wisdom matters. All wisdom through history matters. And as parents and as leaders, it also means that our personal wisdom resume is on display every day. Your wisdom matters. So we'll leave it at that. The book of Proverbs is an invitation to hone your skills at living well. This summer, as we dive into that, What are you going to do with that invitation? Let's pray. Lord God, we are so blessed to be together. It is good to be family. It is good to be connected to you. And Lord, as we just sit in this moment where we acknowledge your fatherly goodness to us and look to you to provide wisdom for our day-to-day lives, I pray by your Spirit that you would meet us. I pray that your Spirit would point us to our big brother in the family, Jesus, and that somehow together you would guide us and you would lead us into our futures. We have things on our mind that we got to deal with tomorrow. We got hopes and dreams that take us far beyond tomorrow. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would meet us and that you would guide us into the paths of wisdom and knowledge and insight for how we're going to tackle those challenges. And we bless you for meeting us today. Amen.